Over the past few years, we've seen significant progress in the global fight against HIV, malaria, and tuberculosis. But medical workers and organizations have had to turn their attention to fighting COVID-19, and these other infectious diseases are now on the rise. For more on this, we're joined by Dr. Seema Yasmin, medical doctor and professor of primary care and public health at Stanford University. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So first, tuberculosis, we're reading, claims an astounding 1.5 million lives a year. Can you give us a sense of the worldwide numbers of malaria and HIV and what inroads have been made up until now to lower those infections?
So these are really big public health problems. As you said, every year we lose 1.5 million people from TB. Last year, more than 500,000 people died from AIDS-related illnesses. But there's some good news there in that we have been making progress against TB, HIV, AIDS, and malaria. In fact, if you look at how many people died from these diseases over the last decade, the death toll had actually reached a low point in 2018. So we were kind of doing well in our fight against these three big killers. And then we're now faced with this global pandemic that's doing what I feared would happen, which is just diverting resources away from these long-standing problems to deal with this acute crisis.
There's also the supply chain problem. I mean, it's been greatly impacted by COVID-19 with these imposed lockdowns and strained PPE and other medical supply chains. What are you seeing on that front?
We've seen really high demand for PPE, and that's having a knock-on effect on other diseases. So everyone, everywhere wants PPE right now at the same time and wants it urgently. And what that has done is disrupted the supply chain for other health products and ingredients, things as essential as medicines to treat HIV, things as essential as insecticide-treated mosquito nets that prevent malaria. So in India, for example, production of those nets has been disrupted. Then, as you mentioned, you have the additional burden of lockdowns, which are really essential in lowering the spread of the new coronavirus. But that hinders the community health workers who go door to door in some villages delivering those insecticide-treated mosquito nets to people who are at risk of malaria. So that's what we're facing right now.
I want to ask you about hydroxychloroquine, which has been used to treat malaria. We now know it well because it has also been used to manage COVID-19. What populations are hardest hit by those disruptions to that supply chain?
So this is an old medicine. It's been around for about 6 decades. It's been tested in studies to see if it works against COVID-19. And very sadly, it doesn't help. But because there's been so much misinformation about the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine, people have been panic buying it. People have been hoarding it. And so then you talk to people, even in the States, who live with lupus, who rely on this medicine to treat their arthritis. And they say it's been harder and harder to get a hold of this very essential treatment for them.
I want to ask you about testing. We see that the numbers of TB diagnoses has actually gone down, but then we're seeing also that testing centers normally designed for HIV testing in Russia, for example, have now become COVID-19 testing centers. What are the consequences of not getting enough testing done on these other diseases that we're talking about?
So this is exactly what we worry about. We even have a name for it. We call it exceptionalism, where all the focus and all the resources go to one particular, usually new problem at the expense of these other long-standing problems. Look, COVID-19 came along, and it's not like HIV, TB, and malaria magically disappeared. We need to continue our fight against those. And as you say, the diagnoses of some of these diseases like TB and HIV have dropped really significantly, especially in parts of sub-Saharan Africa and in parts of India and other parts of Asia as well. The concern there is that people who are at risk of HIV, people who are at risk of malaria and TB, will not get diagnosed, will suffer the illness without being aware of it, and they'll miss out on treatment. So we worry that we're dealing, and we're very much focused on this new crisis, but at what cost? At what expense to those people who are either already living with those other diseases or at risk of becoming infected?
I mean, what we're really learning from this conversation, Seema, is just how interconnected global health outcomes really are. I mean, what are you looking out for or concerned about moving forward as we continue this battle against COVID-19 while also thinking about bringing down the numbers of those other diseases? What can be done by, say, like the World Health Organization or countries to really get ahead of what really is another crisis?
Sure. So I worry that we keep making the same mistakes with every new global health crisis. In fact, there's researchers at Imperial College London have said that if we continue to divert resources from those other areas to COVID-19, that we should expect to see a 10% increase in HIV deaths, 20% increase in TB deaths, and about a 36% increase in deaths from malaria. So what we need to do is, yes, keep our eye on COVID-19, but not at the expense of these other long-standing problems. And honestly, one thing that rich countries especially can do is throw money at this problem.
That's Dr. Seema Yasmin, medical doctor and professor of primary care and public health at Stanford University. Thank you.
Thank you.